This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 257 of the Countdown Podcast, where you're going to get some raspberry jam in your face. My name is Wayne.
Raspberry jam?
Yeah, it's about the Razzies.
My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast where we make terrible puns. Countdown movies.
I would have to agree.
And sometimes television in audible, so you don't have to. And today, Wayne has not mixed words in terms.
Not very the lead at all.
No, we're doing the 10 best films to have ever been nominated for a Golden Raspberry Award. The Razzies, as they are known mostly around the world. I believe they're about to be announced maybe just after recording and just before we release this episode, if I'm not mistaken, for 2020.
You know Cat's going to win, so what?
Cats will walk away.
There's just no way it's not going to
win. No, in an era, we're not going to see films sweep 7, 8, 9 Academy Awards anymore. I'm pretty sure we're still going to see that in the Razzies. But anyway, so it's been for 40 years.
Which is amazing.
1980 to 2020. Yeah. And we thought maybe it might be fun to try to defend the indefensible.
Did you have any trouble with this?
No.
Okay.
I got and my 10 were very clear. There's daylight to my 11.
Yep.
And I've got one and only one honorable mention.
I
should emphasize we only had Worst Picture. We didn't go in for any other nominations. You know, a film doesn't count if the worst actor was nominated.
The worst director.
It had to be the Worst Picture nominee. The first year, 1980, there were 10 films nominated. Then they obviously went check themselves a little bit because too many people got up in arms over it. And ever since then, 1981 to 2020, 5 films have been nominated every year.
I myself remember seeing or hearing of the Razzies as a child. I'm like, oh, that's an actual thing. They actually have a ceremony. And then it's come now to actually where people like Halle Berry turn up.
I was going to say, I remember Halle Berry turn up for Catwoman, right?
By the way, how cool is she for doing that?
Yeah, look, I think just embrace
She even fake cried it when she accepted the award. She's awesome. So, you know.
She's awesome for those reasons and more, I'm sure Wayne would say.
Big fan. Big fan.
So that's the show we have lined up for you today. But before we get there, we open every show with a segment that we call
Who Wants a Recap? Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap?
From the mailroom, what did we get today, Paul?
That's nice. I like that. That is exactly the way it works out. Let's kick it off then with the results of last week's show, episode 256, the top 10 list of coolest movie gadgets.
God.
You're up 1-0 on the season. I've evened the score. It was almost a slightly bigger shellacking than you gave me last week with the battle scene.
Oh, it's huge.
It was 44 votes to me to 16 for you.
Yep. These things go that way sometimes. As we often say, if you're not the enthusiast, sometimes it falls your way. But I would say the reason I lost this one was for my number one choice, which I was...
Remind us, what was your number one
one? My number one choice, after going through all the high-tech stuff that I was talking about, I went with this analog The Saints pocket knife from that Val Kilmer movie. And you know what? As I was writing it, I knew I was putting a nail in my own coffin.
But
stand for the loot, absolutely. Apparently, I can't. I have no option but to be authentic. I knew it would shut me down, and I just went there anyway.
There was a little piece of me. You might not have seen it last week while recording, where I did a little fist pump in turn. I'm like, yeah,
absolutely, and understandable too. Please vote that way. I completely understand. But you are getting pure Wayne though. Mainland.
Be happy that you're not being pure Wayne. All right, so that is 1-1 then, and we'll of course have a
vote. Congratulations, old man. That was a resounding victory.
As was yours the week before, so we're on even footing, and your chance to vote in the Facebook listening community. Links in the show notes if you're not part of the 340-odd people who are there voting. Well, they're not that they all vote.
Come aboard.
Potentially
come aboard.
Can vote each week in and week
Link
out.
In the show notes.
Then over to the Podbean site/app. Where we have had, a number of comments, 3 comments from a bunch of listeners, and nice. I want to run through them because it's nice to...
Yeah, Podbean, it's a cool little platform.
Yeah, well, it's where we host the show, and you can use...
I forgot that you could use it to comment.
The first of these is from Montego Bradley, the host of Fans on Patrol, a wonderful podcast in its own right. Comes out Monday morning Australian time, and therefore a little earlier in the States every week. Good stuff, check out Montego. What up, guys? Just finished the show. Had a blast, and I haven't chimed in a long, long time.
What's up, man?
But I plan to change that. You guys have made my day during my commute. I love the topic, and I am just thinking of my own personal list of gadgets. Rock on, fellas.
Yes! Another EDC enthuse I'm smelling.
Could well be. And then from Brendan42, G'day, Podsters. Just want to let you know how cool and excellent, as Bill and Ted might say, your podcast is. I love listening to it every time I exercise or drive, etc. And Wayne's laugh is enough to make it pod unique. There you go, Wayne. Someone complimenting you.
It doesn't happen often, and don't think I don't appreciate it. Thank you, old man.
So thank you. I had listened to every pod. I thought I listened to every pod until I discovered yours in mid-2019. And I've even listened to a bunch of your older episodes. You guys are unique and fun and lift up my spirits even on the crappiest days and also on the good ones. P.S. Also, thanks for plugging the IMDb podcast, so now known as the Movie Journey podcast, as those two nuts are also pretty cool. So Daniel and Dean over there, there are gentlemen.
What up?
Finally, is there any way you can send your podcast, all the podcasts out there, so they could learn a thing or two on how to make a fun and interesting podcast from you guys?
Kind.
Thanks for the seemingly endless entertainment. You guys rock.
My man.
Very kind words there.
Thanks, man.
Although I don't believe we're an aficionado on much of anything when it comes to podcasting.
Who knew?
We appreciate the sentiment, sir.
They know. They've heard me.
Thank you so much to all of you for that feedback. It warms our souls.
And totally.
We've had
thank
some wonderful
guys.
Feedback the last couple of weeks between babies being born and
how cool.
The podcast being played to that. And yeah, still blown away by that, Kia. All right. Well, this was going to be straight into the show, but we've had almost a late-breaking development, which requires this particular opener.
Cigar Watch.
Oh, nice.
Regular listeners to the show will know how much we hate Steven Seagal. And
oh,
we have
on this
taken
show, we're not fans.
Upon ourselves to ensure that you are aware of how big a piece of trash this man is. Now, for starters, if you're not familiar, and welcome to the show if you're new, it's great to have you listening. Steven Seagal has still yet to respond to Wayne's formal invitation for a fight.
Stop bringing that up, motherfucker. He can sit on me.
As you can hear, Wayne is now regretful of those bold, bold words.
I do think I can outrun him.
Okay, well, outrun, outfight.
I don't know. Let's just make him tired and then rope a dope his ass and take a shit in his face.
Fair enough. There we are. This is from, first of all, from Mike Seibert from the Mike Seibert podcast and Joe DiCarlo from the So Wizard podcast. Both our roving reporters apparently out there because we now have people scouring the internet looking after I said we probably wouldn't talk about this for a while. Steven Seagal to pay over $330,000 to the SEC for promoting Bitcoin. As reported by Gizmodo, among other sites.
So he's
Securities and Exchange Commission, yep. By the way, in the US.
So this is how sad shit gets, people. I don't know if you guys are into cryptocurrency or not, but whenever if you're in a position where your ICO, which is initial coin offering, is being promoted by Steven fucking Seagal, okay? Because there's a million Bitcoins out there. I'll bet you his ICO is called Cuntcoin. But it's just a shit steak. And he obviously just signed something and now he's getting raped over it. Hilarious.
Well, no, he promoted it. That's what happened.
That's what I mean. The SEC is like, well, now you have to. Exactly. It's bullshit. And what would he know about that shit? If you saw Steven Seagal buys this, why would you buy it, idiot?
Exactly. As Dan from the Shaky Not Nerd podcast pointed out, Fuzzy Dan said, who's listening to Steven Seagal about financial advice?
Like the 10 dickheads who fucking well like him.
I think sadly there's more than 10
dickheads. No, you're right. There's way more.
But anyway, so he got paid to encourage followers to get onto this particular BSG's initial coin offering.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently in return, he was promised $250,000 in cash and $750,000 US in Bitcoin and failed to mention that. So, you know, you go onto YouTube and, you know, this popular channel now is doing a paid promotion for, I don't know, little coffee cups.
Yeah.
You have to say on there, this is a paid promotion, or mention, I am being paid to do this. As long as you do that, you're free and clear.
Mm-hmm.
Seagal, in his infinite wisdom / ego, did not.
Yep.
And so now he's got to pay that $330,000 fine, which I'm sure is chump change for him, but still... Fuck you, Seagal.
Well, it's more than he was paid to do it, so there you go. And I dare
that's
say
a good
that 750K in Bitcoin is probably worth about probably fuck all now.
It's worth that $7.70.
Exactly. So, and also, I want to see his ad. I don't know how he promoted this. I want to see his ad saying, hi, I'm Steven Seagal. You know, whenever you want to kung fu some fucking Bitcoin, should...
It'd be like, you might remember me from such films as Out for Justice and Hard to Kill.
Yes. And then it's like, what?
Or On Deadly Ground.
That's right. And I'm deadly. What is this call to action to say? You got to get into this Bitcoin. Fuck off. Good call. Nice one. I can't
you'll
believe
be
it.
Up for justice on deadly there, ground there, while that. Being hard to kill.
That's
if
what
you
it is.
Get on board.
That's what it'll be. It'll be hard to kill this price. You know, it's, I don't know.
I am above the law, so I don't have to worry about being. Once again, I want to end this segment just by saying, fuck you, Seagal.
Top 10
films nominated for a Razzie or whatever we're calling
just
it.
Just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Is the subject of this week's countdown, as we have talked about at the top of the show. Hard, easy, difficult.
Okay.
How'd you find this list?
First of all, when I started looking, so I just Wikipedia'd like what are all the best picture nominees.
There's a page. Worst picture nominees. We should probably put the page in the show notes. Yeah. Not that anyone will read show notes, but if you want to click on it and then be able to follow along with what choices there were, you can. Mm-hmm.
And I was going to go, you know what? This is going to have to work like a Guilty Pleasures episode where you sit there and you're like, I don't, I know this one's bad, but I like it because. However,
I think there's a few films on this that are legitimately excellent films.
I'm telling you.
And they have missed the mark so badly, the Razzies, in terms of nominating these films, either because they were ahead of their time and they were game changers unto themselves.
I thought it was just hating.
Because they were hating on, and I want to say that the Razzies nominate, target one particular actor. And I wonder if you noticed this, and it's going to come up in your list a lot. We'll see. I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, because the joke is better if one guy sweeps it. Like, it's more of a headline. I understand writing the show like that, which is how you're really doing
it. But there's an overrepresented actor on this list of worst films. Did you notice? We'll find out.
We'll find out. I'm thinking about it, though. Yeah.
All right. Well, lead us away, because I'm going to go on record now. I'm pretty sure I know what our number one is.
No, I'm sure you... What, you my number one or our number one?
Our number one.
No, because I went... Here's the thing. On my...
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, then you can justify yourself later.
Absolutely. By the way, I'm about to lose this one too. And I'm not saying that.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
No.
There we go.
You'll see when you see my list. No one has been pandered to on this list. When you see my number one, you'll throw up, all right?
And I'm very disappointed. Well, I think there's a clear standout number one. And how dare you, sir?
Because...
It's ridiculous. Like, we're talking about something because we know better. Each other.
Well, I'm saying.
We'll get there.
All right. Well, my number... I've got five choices for my number 10, all right? But I'm going with this one.
So 10 through 6 are... equally as good.
No. I just like in the number 10 position. There's like honorables. You know, yeah. So I'm gonna go with Roadhouse.
Oh, this is a bit freaky. In fact, it's so freaky that we should probably celebrate.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Shit. 10 is your Roadhouse is your 10.
Roadhouse.
Shit. Okay.
What are the odds? Well,
again, I was. It could have been anything at this last stage.
110 times 109 times 108. Anyway, so on and so forth.
Wait, so you liked Roadhouse?
Well, compared to most.
Look, I liked Roadhouse. Okay, let me tell you about Roadhouse, everyone. It's Patrick Swayze back in the. I want to say 90s.
89.
89. No, really? Ooh, it could be.
No, I have to look it up.
He was quite a piece of man meat.
He's a good-looking fella. Yep, 89.
89. Okay, so. He is an bouncer. He's a bouncer, and he's out in some shitty... Well, actually, I think he's in, like, the city or something. Anyway, he's such a well-known bouncer, or cooler, if you're the head bouncer, that this dude comes and, like, says, yo, work in my bunch of shitty bar, or my shitty bar, and clean up the place. He goes there, and basically the whole town's against him. It's pretty fucked up, but it ends up with this... Sam Elliott turns up, and, like, he's like, this legendary bouncer that every bouncer has heard of. Like, he's a famous bouncer.
Where's our bouncers? Maybe that exists.
Fuck off, man. No way does that happen, all right?
I would like to apologize for all people out there who have worked as a bouncer on behalf of
the
show.
You know, I worked as a bouncer once. One night. It was hilarious.
Whoa. Hold on.
Swanbourne Hotel.
Stories?
Okay, look. This is stupid, everyone. But when I was 19, right, I was a fucking ninja. That's actually true. All right? I was fucking a dude who studied... I know. I studied ninjutsu because I'm a fucking nerd, okay? So anyway, I was instructed there for a while. And then there was... the dojo was full of cops. All the policemen did this shit, all right? And I'm not a policeman. So,
okay.
And half of them were also bouncers. So this one dude
policemen
says...
Are bouncers?
No, there's bouncers and policemen.
Okay.
And then just normal people like me. Well, normal. Yeah. And one dude said, yo, I'm down like fucking five guys for this gig that's happening at this hotel. Does anyone want to volunteer? I'll pay you like $100, right?
Which that's
I was 19. So it was like $1 million. I was like, what? And so anyway, he said, yeah, I was like, dude, come out. Now, everyone, I am 8 fucking maybe 9 inches tall. All right. All right. So I'm not a tall, huge man. However, he just needed bodies there. And also, I'm a bit fat. So, like, you know, you see stocky, you take up some room. Anyway, so I did that. Nothing happened. I didn't have to kill anyone. Nothing went down. There's no Roadhouse shit.
Oh, so you didn't rip someone's throat out with your bare hands.
Well, now, this was the cool thing about Roadhouse, everyone. When Patrick Swayze, who, by the way, is a ballet dancer, like, he that's his shit, right? Goes and rips motherfuckers' throats out? We all thought we could do it. You can't do it. If you've ever tried to stick your three fingers into a side of pork or something, which I have tried and failed at, it just can't be done, people. I don't care what you do with your fingers.
I'm glad you specify there. Can't be done. I tried several times.
You should see the dumb shit you do as a young martial artist, right? You fucking kick ice and shit like that to bruise your legs. So you go, this is bullshit. Trust me, it's crap. Anyway, so yeah, Roadhouse. It's been a long fucking time.
I've got nothing else other than this film. Look, maybe he did make another film in between, but for me, this was Patrick Swayze coming back off Dirty Dancing.
Yes, to be not such a bitch.
I think it was 2 or 3 years between, so I'm sure he did 2 or 3 other films in between. But in my mind, it's Dirty Dancing, one of the worst films I've ever seen.
Mm.
And then I watch this R-rated, you know,
yes,
film ahead of time. So, you know, we were young, so I saw this at 15.
Yeah, and the amount of titty bonuses in this movie.
That's right. You know, so that was impactful at that particular age.
Kelly Lynch.
I've not watched this film in 15, 20 years, yeah. At least, maybe not even to 25 years. So I'm going purely on memory of how cool the fight scenes were.
It was cool. They were cool looking. And by the way, here's something that's not cool, which I found recently, right? There's a scene in the movie where the big bad guy, who's like this other guy with a mullet.
Narrow it down for me.
Yeah, I know, right? He is supposed to be the baddest ass ever. And in this bar fight, he decides to beat up a few guys. And then he takes a pool cue from the table and pole vaults, doing a straight body flip in the air onto the stage, and goes boom. Then looks at Patrick Swayze and goes, "You!" and points to him, and then casually steps down off the stage. Like, so he pole vaults onto a stage for no reason whatsoever. Right? So, anyway, it's just one of those movies.
Yeah, look, again, we're defending the indefensible here.
Exactly, so exactly. I can't believe we've been talking about it so long. Yeah,
that's my number 10. Our number 10.
Our number 10. So it's me right again, is it?
Yes, you again.
All right. My number 9 is... Oh, this is going to be great. Everyone's going to have a problem. My number 9 is Color of Night. I fucking liked this movie.
No.
All right, people. It was fucking... Paul's buried. His boy facepalmed. He just facepalmed, okay?
I did.
Check it. This is Bruce Willis. All right? He's a New York psychologist, and he becomes... Like, he's having a session with a patient, and then the patient goes... something and just runs and jumps out of the window of his fifth floor fucking
which
practice.
Is ironic because the way that Bruce Willis's acting career has gone every time I sit and watch one of his films, I also feel like jumping out my window.
He was still on the way up here.
I know.
This is the penis movie, everyone. This is the show.
The Bruce Willie movie.
The Bruce Willie movie, yes, where Bruce shows his dick and like a bit, right? You gotta pause it.
But also.
Which I did.
Also. It's also the film which I leant over to you in the cinema and said, if this is this, then this is that.
You did, didn't you? Actually, okay, let me ask you about this, okay? Because, sorry, everyone, here's what happens in the movie. He's traumatized because his patient killed himself on his watch, literally in his session, and then he can't see red anymore. He looks down, there's a woman, she's splattered on the floor, it's a street pizza, he can't see the red, it just turns into gray. And then that sort of figures out in the end of the movie. He goes
hysterical
and,
colorblindness.
Yeah, and long story short, there's a basic, he fucks off for a while,
is it the dude from
Scott
Quantum
Bakula?
Leap?
Yeah. Scott Bakula's house, who's his mate, who's also a psychologist who runs this group of people. Yep. And
when Scott Bakula gets killed,
yes,
he takes over the group.
He takes over the group, which is, I'm sure, Paul, as a professional, you can tell me happens every single day.
Oh, look, you know, you meant obviously there would need to be some kind of contingency plan when someone dies.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that the best mate, especially because I think his death was mysterious circumstances / being investigated.
That's
Scott
right.
Bakula, yeah.
Probably
I'm not
a bit
sure
close, a bit close.
I think the first place the police would go would be to the group that he is running. But anyway, let's not get too far off into the
right.
real world
okay.
for these particular films.
Let me just say this, because I'm not going to spoil it in case everyone wants to go watch it. All right, but Jane March was in it, right?
Who you might be saying? Jane March, for a very small window of time, I would say 6 to 9 months,
yes.
Hollywood tried to promote as the next...
Sharon Stone?
It.
Yeah,
it
yes.
girl.
Absolutely. She was pushed as the sexy young thing. And she
I
did,
don't understand
she
why.
Did The Lover with that Tony Leung guy. There's a bit of like... All of us, it was all about titty.
Yeah.
Right? It was just New Jack titty. And then... But basically, the way that the movie ends... Now, here's the thing. I remember not picking the ending.
I did.
Yeah, you
pretty
did.
Sure I said it to you.
You must have said it to me and I didn't hear it or something. Because when it happened, I was like, holy shit. But no one else on the planet was surprised by this ending. Mm. Least of all, Paul. And so, because of that, it got me. I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed Hector Elizondo. Was like, you fucking... Whatever he was saying. Daffodil motherfucker or whatever it's called. It wasn't Hector Elizondo. It was another Latino man.
not making any less racist.
Yeah, I know. Oh, what are you going to do? Okay, so yeah, look, obviously, Paul, you did not like this movie.
That's a piece of shit.
I liked this film. I liked it. Oh, see? I told you, I'm lost. It's fine. It's fine.
I don't know. I'm not sure you've lost when you hear my number 9. My number 9 is a film which I firmly believe was ahead of its time. 1993, to be precise. It's directed by John McTiernan. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger is the last action hero.
Low. This is very... Well, here it is, okay? Let me actually... actually ask you something, because this is your pick. This is my pick too.
Yeah, right? Eventually. Yep.
Eventually. Okay. What's wrong with this movie? There's nothing wrong with this movie. This is good. It was. I remember the year it opened. It opened across from Jurassic Park, and the whole thing that summer was like, oh, which one should you see? Jurassic Park or this one? And
everyone said, one of those films is a bigger cultural hit, though. Pound for pound, I like Last Action Hero.
Paul had a problem with the T-Rex scene in Jurassic Park, but...
But I recognize which one has a more cultural influence and is a bigger game changer.
Longevity, absolutely. Yeah. However, when I saw...
We haven't had five Last Action Hero sequels.
But we've had five Arnies, so I don't know. Like, I mean, it's just... But the whole point of it was poking fun at itself. It was a golden ticket very type clever. Thing. Very clever. Dude, Tywin Lannister was the bad guy in it.
Very self-referential. Very... Like, this is the first... I would argue the first postmodern action film.
I agree. I absolutely do agree.
And you fast forward to Scream 4 or 5 years later, somewhere in that realm of time. That popularizes this postmodern kind of self-referential.
Exactly. Humor. The wink and the nod thing.
Everybody forgot this film. Like, where everyone in the film world is a supermodel.
Yeah.
Walking past camera. And they're all wearing, like, you know, really tight clothing.
There was a Sharon Stone cameo.
Sharon Stone cameo dressed as Catherine Tramiel.
So cool. So cool.
Like, and then the kid realizing that he's the psychic, and the psychic dies at this point in the film. Mm-hmm. And then death becomes a real thing, comes out of the... I think this film's great.
So it was great. And when Arnold falls from a building or whatever, you actually slow-mo see him, like the thing that he was hanging on to broke off and he's looking at it weirdly, and then he comes, holy shit, he realizes he's falling. It's funny. It's funny shit. So yeah, I got no problem with that, man. Like I said, my shit is higher. It's
well due a revisit from me. And maybe it would go higher on that basis.
Why did they nominate it? What's the thinking, do you reckon?
This was a big flop.
It's because it failed compared to Jurassic...
Well, no, it was a big flop. And
it was a flop.
Again, people think it's a terrible film because I didn't get it.
Yeah, at the time.
I'm genuinely surprised Starship Troopers isn't on the Razzie-nominated film list. Because that's another film which was misunderstood and arguably ahead of its time.
There's a few articles, like editorials about that, about how Starship Troopers was actually, you know, no one got it.
Yeah, and I don't want to pretend like I did get it, and that's why I loved it. I just loved it because it was... People being eviscerated by alien bugs and cool special effects.
Exactly.
Later on, I came to appreciate the nuance behind the filmmaking.
Plus titty bonus. And Dina Myers, no less.
Get yourself.
Oh, I'm sure that had nothing to do with it, Paul.
Every time.
We were teenagers and it had nothing to do with it.
I'm just saying that every time I think this show has a chance of being a legitimate film review show, then something like this happens.
When you say something like this, you're beckoning, of course, to me.
All right, that's my 9. Back to you for your 8.
Nice one. My number 8, I'm very passionate about people. And I don't know how well-known this movie is, but I remember seeing it like with no fanfare. I just happened to turn it on and I was like, oh, I'm amazed, okay? Now, I did watch it again last night.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Skipped a few bits,
but mostly the whole thing. The show is called 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Oh, okay.
Kurt Russell, fucking Kevin Costner, motherfucking like Courtney Cox, looking amazing. Mm-hmm. David Arquette, maybe they met on this show.
What year is this film?
This is, I don't know. I just got my fucking notes here, man. Honestly. I didn't put it down. I just don't know. But it was well back in the Disney. In my head, it's like fucking
well, David Arquette and I think Courtney Cox met on Scream. I think this might be after Scream.
Perhaps. Yep. Well, anyway, Bokeem Woodbine, Christian Slater, Kevin Pollak. Pretty big cast, okay? And it's about Kurt Russell, who's an ex-con, and he and his 5 mates all dress up like Elvis and go and into a Vegas casino because it's Elvis week or whatever, right? And it's about the heist. Now, I remember finding this is a really harsh movie because lots of people die in this movie. Like, lots of security guards get taken out by all these dudes, right? But I think I know why it hit this list here. The problem with the movie, if you look at it now, is it tries really weird things. Like, there's a lot of CGI scorpions that are just placed in there. Like,
really?
Weird. Yeah. And I know, you can't. And then the way that he's shot things, it's become a little bit pretentious. Like, it's, and also these 5 Elvises for some reason can level like thousands of guards and SWAT people and shit like that. They never get shot. It's weird. But it is still a very enjoyable...
But when they shoot each other, they never miss.
Oh, no. And Kevin Costner plays the biggest prick of a guy. Like, he's a real asshole.
He's the villain, right?
He's totally the villain. And it's like, wow, that's kind of cool. This was actually... I still maintain this is an enjoyable movie.
6 out of 10 on IMDb, 42,620 votes. 2001, the film was made. So, yeah, by this stage, Cox and Arquette were an item.
Ah, yes. So that's why they're hanging out together. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, I actually do recommend this movie. But you've got to understand, like, that it's going to be a little bit shit. But it's still enjoyable. Very cool.
All right. Surprising one, but not a terrible... Like, I have vaguely positive... recollections about
that film. Yeah, it wasn't bad, right? So,
we're at that phase now where late 90s, early 2000s films, you watched them once, you could probably watch them again and it wouldn't be a completely new experience, but you would mostly be
absolutely, because I forgot all of the bad shit that happened in this. So as I was watching, I was like, shit, this is actually a pretty good scene.
All right, my number 8 is a bit of embarrassing.
Wait till you see my number 7. Go on.
It's a sequel to a film which it's nothing like the original film.
Yeah.
The first film was a gritty, realistic thriller. The second one was a balls-to-the-wall action film and redefined the character for arguably the next 35 years. It's Rambo, First Blood, Part 2.
This is a Razzie Award?
Yeah.
Shit.
Directed by George P. Cosmatos.
I'm trying to remember if I did like Rambo. I was a kid, of course, but I liked it. Really?
Yeah, man. Again, I was probably in just the right age range, if you want to call it that, for this particular film. But this won the Raspberry that year. For 1985, it was voted the worst film of the year.
Rambo. That's just...
It obviously made a shit ton of money because we got Rambo 3 and Rambo 4 and then just recently Rambo Last Blood.
Exactly.
And clearly there's a law of diminishing returns here. Although, Rambo 4 was arguably better than 3. Like, it's the most bloodthirsty, ridiculous
film. Oh, yeah, and I heard of this one.
You've ever seen. Okay, you never saw that one. Okay, we obviously did Last Blood last year for the show. But this one, this is redefined, like, this character who was, you know...
We didn't even know his name was Rambo from First Blood.
Is that what I didn't his name?
No, his name was John Rambo in there, but like when they named the whole second one Rambo, I'm like, that is a wild departure. They should have called it Second Blood. Like, it was just like, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, it was like,
how about First Bloods?
First Bloods, yeah. Urban Commando. No. So
They took that original gritty premise based on the David Morrell novel, which was, you know, a very serious novel about PTSD and all the rest of it.
Really?
Yeah, and then they turn it into this action extravagant, and that's why the critics reacted so savagely.
Is that what it is?
But it made this huge amount of money, and obviously Rambo is not quite as big thanks to the Creed films as Rocky Balboa for Sylvester Stallone characters, but it's a pretty close thing.
No, it's up there, man. He's known for that. And you know what? Is this the one where at the end he was pretending he was playing possum when he was in a helicopter and he had a rocket launcher?
I reckon that one's 3, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, because they run into each other.
This one's is more in the jungles of Vietnam. I'm pretty sure that one was Afghanistan against the Russians.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, cool.
There nice we go. That's my 8.
Nice one.
First Blood Part 2.
My number 7 is... look, it's here, okay? And I like the movie, and I'm sorry. Striptease.
Pretty sure one of the listeners predicted you would have this on your
list. Oh, absolutely. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I'm a man who does not like to fly on planes. I just fucking hate it. It sucks. Now, the one thing that sometimes gets me through...
I'll remind everyone that Wayne does not have children... nor have a living partner. So for him, that is a waste of time. For the rest of us, it's a break.
Well, this is it. The thing that gets me sometimes through a flight is a particular author. His name is Carl Hiaasen. H-I-A-A-S-E-N. Mm-hmm. He wrote the Striptease novel, and this movie is from that. It's actually got Demi Moore, and the reason I think it turned up on this thing is that she's playing a woman who strips. And
stop. Full stop. That's Wayne's choice. Moving on.
Hang on. But it was well known that year that she went and just got heaps of plastic surgery done. So this movie was almost a advertisement for how good that surgeon was, kind of. All right? And she actually paid her assistant to have all the same work done first to see if she liked it. So
what?
She did that.
Right? Ooh, that feels wrong.
It does now, but the other person said yes, so whatever, right? So, okay. Anyway. It's a funny movie. It is a funny movie. It's got fucking the Terminator in it. She's in it. Motherfucking Ving Rhames is in it.
The Terminator is in it? What do you mean?
Yeah, Robert Patrick.
Oh, okay.
And so Burt Reynolds is in it. Like, it's kind of an interesting, like, I really, really liked it. It was as funny as the book, except some things didn't work quite as well, but I've always been quite fond of it. And it beat The Island of Dr. Moreau. In nominations that year Razzie.
It won the Razzie.
Yeah, it won the Razzie. And Island of Dr. Moreau should definitely have won.
Yeah, Island of Dr. Moreau is the worst film.
That's like the fucking shittest film ever. So
it's terrible.
There you are.
I'm not even sure who directed Striptease, but I can guarantee they did not run off into the jungle and then creep back on set pretending to be an extra to watch how the rest of the film
was after he was fired. Honestly, like, that's just insane though. So what are you going to do?
100% agree. Alright, my number 7.
Yep.
I have a question for you.
Go on.
Would you agree, Wayne?
Yes.
That crime is a disease?
Fucking dickhead.
I invite you to meet the cure.
Fucking what a dick. All right? This is the one. This is one of the ones that could have been my number 10. So I'm not actually a, like, I'm just like your dick. So go.
1986 is George P. Cosmatos again. Sylvester Stallone starring again. Cobra. Come on, this is canon films.
Absolutely. I fucking absolutely am on board with this. Yes.
One of the
It's a bit high. It's a bit fucking high.
I have really fond memories of this film. I'm sure if I watched it now, I would fucking hate it.
Dude, here's what I remember from the film. Like, the straight up when you say it, right? So there's a gunfight. It's some city. I guess it's LA. Bang, 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 bang. The police just can't handle it. So he goes to his lieutenant, call in the Cobra. Right? And then next scene is Slack turns up in what fucking old ass car did he have? But it was really pimped out, but it was like an old style.
He's just wearing like black leather
and reflective sunglasses, and he's got like a gun which has a laser thingy on it.
Yes,
right?
I'm looking at the post that literally has that.
Right there, okay. And he turns up and comes out, and basically, I guess he's a consultant who kills everyone. I guess that's what it is. Because then he goes into the supermarket where there's a fucking gunman. And then throws cans at him and shoots. Weird shit happens.
I just love the fact it's a stripped back 87-minute action extravaganza. Mm. Every single dollar that Canon could put together is up there on the screen. Yes. Like, there's no margin for script. There's no margin for anything like nuance. It's just exactly what you described versus a really bad guy and his gang.
Yep. And he had a little matchstick in his mouth that he always had. And it was kind of, yep. Now, Bridget Nielsen is playing across from him in this.
That's
like
right.
She did in so many movies during that
era. Because they were married, right?
Because they were married or getting married or whatever, right? And by the way, she's tall.
Very tall.
And he's short.
Way taller than him. I know. Wrap your head around that, Wayne.
Yeah, he made that work for a little while.
Wayne refuses to date a woman who's tall.
It's not a thing. It's happened.
It's a thing.
It's happened.
How tall are you?
I am 5'7".
If you are tall and 5'7", now disabuse yourself of the notion you can ever have Wayne.
All I'm hearing is a shit ton of thank gods out there. There you go, right? Okay, so sorry, people. Aside from my short ass, I'm a big fan of Cobra. So nice work.
Thank you. Moving right along then to your number 6.
Speaking of short asses, my number 6 is a movie that I consider one of the most consistent comedies I've ever seen.
Ooh, I wonder if it's
as
honest.
In the laughs are consistent and forthcoming for the longest, or among the longest.
Mm-hmm.
Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo.
Nope, not the one on my list.
Okay, so everyone, Deuce Bigalow itself was, in my estimation, the original, a good movie. That's funny.
This is the sequel
that got nailed, right? European Gigolo is funnier. The budget was bigger. Absolutely.
Dang.
The budget was bigger. The amount of...
Wait, a budget being bigger does not make a funnier film.
No, but like because they put it in Europe and it was a whole... They were playing a bunch of different notes that actually worked. For example, there are a lot of euphemisms for dick here.
Like this?
Suck my dick.
No, that's a straight up fucking reference. They refer to things like your penis as your vagina.
Well, this
sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
No, bitch. None of that shit works because this arm drops a dick. So what's up?
Wait, I've got it.
No, you don't.
Ballsy.
I guarantee.
Stupid, but ballsy.
You are such a cunt. But anyway, this would be here, ball the fucker.
Bingo.
As haze. It's even got like Eddie Griffin in it, and all the jokes are just foul and disgusting. For example, one woman, for some reason, has a dick on her nose, and every time she sneezes, she comes across the room. Let me tell you, this thing is a lot funnier than it sounds. Okay, and this
holy
is
hell, son, your mother's useful as a cock flavored lollipop.
That's a shit sound. No one can really hear it. Fuck you and fuck your life. So. but yes, I laughed all the way through this movie. Think it's fantastic. Absolute pure class from my... I'm telling you, give it a try. You will laugh consistently over and over.
I don't think you will.
I mean, get drunk. But
yeah. Get drunk, then you will laugh consistently.
But you know, hell, you know, it's fine. It's
over
fine.
And
Deuce
over.
Bigalow, I'm a huge fan. Again, consistent.
Huge surprise. was not ready for that one to come into play, I have to say. My number 6, though, is going to cement Sylvester Stallone as the most hated man at the Razzies.
You reckon?
Mm.
Oh, are you
no
about...
one has been nominated, or no one's films have been nominated more.
All right, so what is the one that you're picking as good?
I am a man who has a particular weird fascination with prison films. Like,
prison
I like...
Sex. Sorry, prison sex. Prison films, got it, yes. I understand,
sure.
Paul.
I like prison films. In terms of, I don't know what it is, like, maybe it's because I'm so fearful of, oh God, going to jail, I couldn't fucking handle that, I'm fucking terrible. Oh my God, this guy, look, he's hiding, he's rising above it, or this woman's rising above it. She's getting out, she's like, yeah!
Are you kidding me? Can you imagine how fucked it would be to be in jail?
No.
Imagine fucking some bubba motherfucker comes over and just like, well, you're just sitting there, your asshole's quivering.
Scared.
Yep, scared.
Mine is 1989's Lock Up.
wait a minute. I think I saw the video cover for this movie.
Have you never seen it?
I think I have.
It's like Donald Sutherland is this the traditional sadistic warden.
Warden, yeah.
And of course, Sylvester Stallone is the man who's in there who's trying to.
Is it just a normal prison, or is it set in the future or anything?
Nah. Completely contemporary.
Okay.
It's all completely played straight and serious from my memory of the film.
I don't remember it.
I really felt for his plight. And then, you know, when he's making his escape / going to bring the warden to justice,
yeah,
couldn't be more behind it.
Really? So this is Donald Pleasant? Donald Sutherland?
Sutherland.
Yep. I guess it'd be Sutherland. Okay. Well, he's kind of a nasty thing. I haven't seen this one, so I'm not sure. But I remember the very blue-looking video cover.
Well, the video cover I'm looking at has, like, it's like black and white with the lock-up in red and yeah. His hands are chained.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So just remembering.
It's got Sonny Landham from Predator.
Who's that?
Billy.
Oh, okay.
And Tom Sizemore. So
he's obviously the bad guy, yep.
I'm not sure. He might be a big guy. No, yeah, Donald Sutherland, the big bad in this particular film. I don't know what it is. Like this movie, think it's very unfairly maligned.
How many people have seen this one? But the thing, it must have gotten some play for it to get the Razzie nomination. Because if you get a Razzie, it kind of says that your movie is kind of popular.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have. Would you say Cats is kind of popular? It's known.
Okay, distributed. Highly distributed. How's
that? I think they've kind of. Clearly, Sylvester Stallone in the 80s was a big draw.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Right?
So
his
films get a big wide release and the like. So I think the Razzies, certainly after the first few years, they weren't nominating piece of shit straight to video.
Yeah, they don't do that.
Do you know what I mean? But
yeah,
they don't pick on the little indies. They go for the big budget shit.
Yeah, the same problem we have.
Yeah. All right. That's my number 6.
Well, we're going to have to return back to you because Last Action Hero is where I put it at number 5.
All right. Well, my number 5 is going to be nowhere near your list. It is the first horror film on my list and a film which absolutely does not deserve to be here.
Horror film? Yeah. Go on.
From 1980, the very inaugural Razzie Awards, Friday the 13th, directed by Sean S. Cunningham.
Okay.
A film which has launched 40 years worth of sequels.
Okay, obviously I've never seen it.
Yeah.
So tell me about Friday the 13th. Why is it good and is it good?
Yeah, it is good at its time.
Sure, for its time. That's fine.
It's completely inferior to Halloween, John Carpenter's film, which came a couple of years before this.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So Halloween is the tentpole amazing film.
Right.
Friday the 13th is the very much eh. Halloween had many sequels and we're going through the middle of a trilogy remake now.
Uh-huh. Sorry. Yeah, of course.
Continuation now. But Friday the 13th has had 10 films plus Freddy vs. Jason plus one reboot as well. So hugely enduring as well. Because Jason Voorhees, they're very similar, Jason and Michael, right?
Yeah, but
this film, for the record, does not feature Jason. I think maybe pops up in a little cameo type thing, but the killer is Jason's mum.
Oh,
Mrs.
really?
Voorhees. That's right.
Pamela is that Voorhees. How this is?
Yeah. And she's killing the camp counselors because camp counselors let her son, Jason, drown many years before at the same place.
So what? So Jason, does he come into it at all?
My memory is not really.
So the second one, or whatever, Friday the 13th 2.
He comes into it. He's the killer.
And he's all grown up and shit.
Yeah. Somehow he survived / came back from the dead. It's never really made clear. He's a supernatural force.
That's why they can just do whatever.
Way much, way more than Michael Myers, who is still a force, but at least he seems to be largely, no, not even largely.
Somewhat humanoid.
Somewhat beholden to the laws of physics. Like he can't be resurrected from the dead if he's, like in Jason Lives 1986, the guy who kills him, the kid who kills him in number 4.
Yeah.
In number 6, he goes to his grave and tries to destroy, desiccate his corpse because he's not convinced he's really dead and happens to do it during a thunderstorm, plunges his big steel rod through his chest cavity into his heart.
Lightning strikes it, of course.
Lightning strikes it and he comes back to life.
What do you want this fucking shit, man?
That's number 6.
I'm
talking about the original.
It got to their progressive.
The original, which is a very fine horror slasher film.
Okay.
And does not deserve its place on this Razzie list.
Okay, nice one. Well, my number 4 is, as if you needed another reason to call me a bitch, the movie Indecent Proposal.
Why are you such a bitch?
There it is. Now, everyone, this show...
Again, knew it would be on your list.
God, really?
100%.
Really?
Okay, we should probably do this. We should probably quietly go away and make our list of 10 films and at the end compare who gets more right.
Possibly. I'd never pick yours, I
would have picked Indecent.
Really?
Proposal. Yeah.
Well, everyone, this movie's got Demi Moore and like friggin' Woody Harrelson in it, and they're this wonderful, cute couple, and, you know, they're having financial difficulty. He's an architect. She's like a mortgage person or something.
Makes no sense while they're having difficulties then, but still.
There was a recession that hit, and everyone's business went down, so they're like, oh, we're in the shit. And then he has this idea. He's like, let's go to Vegas, and we'll bet whatever money we have and try and win it, right? And the first night, they actually do that. They win like a boatload of money. Not enough for what they need, but enough. And they're like, cool, whatever. But then the next night, they lose it all again. And then so they meet Robert Redford, who's a millionaire dude, right? And he digs Demi Moore and says, yo, Woody, how about I put a load in your wife and I give you $1 million? How you like that, right? Except he says it cooler than that. And so then...
Not much cooler.
The story... Oh, no. If Robert Redford said, how about $1 million for some flange, you'd be like, word. So anyway...
You would be.
I think women are a lot more picky than me, to be fair. So, all right. So here it is. The whole movie that's cool is this relationship they have together where actually he does lose her. And then he gets all his man fucking like insecurities about how this go. You got to tell me about the knife. Was the sex good? She says, yes. He's like, what the fuck? And just walks out. It's the shit is cool, man. And
no.
At the end, Billy Connolly. It's fantastic. Yeah, he's there.
I've totally forgotten.
He plays like an auctioneer.
Okay.
Yeah, and he plays himself. It's pretty funny. So I'm telling you, this is a great movie. Indecent Proposal, I can see why it kicked ass probably that year. I cannot see why they put it on this film.
Well, maybe to kick ass. I don't know how much
it was very popular, that's for sure.
All right, there you are. Wayne's number four, Indecent Proposal. Indecently placed.
Yeah, there. I knew you would do that.
Yeah, good. Number four is a film which will be on your list. It will be in your top three. If it's not, you have failed and failed dismally, sir.
Okay.
It ends with a guy saying, oh, you think we're going to kill the fucking koala?
Oh my God, was that here?
The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
That wasn't on my list.
And you have failed, sir.
Oh my God. I didn't see it on that goddamn list. Let me look at the fucking Wikipedia shit, out, make shit sure right I'm here.
Not fucked up. Yes, from 1990, joint winner
with can't believe
Ghosts Can't Do It. What the fuck is that film?
Yeah.
The Adventures of Ford Fairlane for 20th Century Fox. And yeah.
Well, it would totally be on my list if I'd seen it, I'm sure.
I can't believe you have failed us.
Wikipedia? Are we using the same sources here?
Yeah, Wikipedia page. Scrolling down. What's going on, man?
I can't believe I missed it. Okay, good
Andrew
call.
Dice Clay. You know, yep. Doing his Andrew Dice Clayness.
Oh, totally.
Very, very funny. Wayne and I watched this film at his house with another friend, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Late one night, had the worst microwave pies ever. Hint.
Oh, it was the worst.
Microwave pies.
No, don't put pies in the microwave. These are meat pies, everyone, for you Americans. And then we threw popcorn at each other. It was very cool.
It's just very funny.
It sounds a bit gay, but it's... But it was
helped,
like...
Helped by the fact we probably watched it at 3 o'clock in the morning. But I've since watched it. Still very funny.
It is funny. Andrew Dice Clay was... At that time, he was a behemoth. Honestly, he was selling out fucking Madison Square Garden with his comedy,
yep.
Right? So he was huge. We liked shit like the lines. He like, you know, looking after Zuzu Petals was like doing backstroke in a urine tank or something. He would say things like that, which were unusual. Yeah,
it was like a spin on the film noir type stuff, like hardball detective.
To me, he was Elvis-y.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. And that kind of thing. And he just, I don't know, it was a stupid thing. He was rock and roll detective and it was dumb. But boy, we liked it. All the Wayne Newton stuff I really liked.
Product of its time, but so many it dicks, worked.
So few bullets, whatever. That's it.
I think that was the tagline for the film.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, yeah, anyway. I love that shit. It was good.
You can't believe
it. I can't believe I didn't see it.
Disappointed, sir.
I'm really just, you know, I got to talk to my research people.
You have words yourself right now if you like.
Yeah. Okay. Number three for me. All I'll say is this. And I fucking will always fucking. You know what I'm talking about? It's The Bodyguard. Man, The Bodyguard. I, again, don't know what it's doing on this list. This was an excellent film. It should not have worked because Whitney Houston was being the lead and she's a singer, not an actor. But boy, did she nail that role. Kevin Costner? Cool as fuck.
Never busting seen this movie.
You do not. No. You have not seen this movie.
No.
I can't believe you haven't seen this awesome
film. It's on my list of things I will never watch.
What the fuck?
Out of principle.
Dude, it is the tits.
It's right next to Sound of Music.
Dude, it's the tits. It's so cool at the end, right? You can
spoil away. I'm never watching it. Good. It's fine.
Kevin Costner, right, is so cool. At the end, he's hunting this dude, right, who's obviously trying to kill, like, you know, Whitney Houston, and he's her bodyguard or whatever, but he's out in the snow.
Really?
Yeah, he's a bodyguard. He's out in the snow, can't see things. Because he can't see anything, he closes his eyes and just fires at the sounds of the guy. Almost kills him too. All cool little shit like that. It's actually a really great, wickedly made
movie. My memory is someone doesn't live. I can't remember if it's him or her. I've not seen it.
I'm not going to spoil it.
Well, it's 40, 30 years old.
Fine. You know what? None of them die. Word.
Really?
Yeah, only the bad cunt dies. Boom.
Oh, okay. In that case.
Yeah! It's for every one of us. I don't know what... Why I gotta try like this? It's bullshit. Yes, love this show. Thought it was fantastic. Great soundtrack. Queen of the Night. Fantastic. If you want to dial that right up, go ahead.
Yeah.
Bodyguard, people. Okay. And, you know.
Genuinely shocked.
You went and saw that Ryan Reynolds movie without having seen The Bodyguard. I don't know, man.
What Ryan Reynolds movie?
You know, the Hitman's Bodyguard, where they were playing off with The Bodyguard? All the jokes were... Eh, never mind.
Were they?
Yeah. Not all of them, but kind of them.
That film was still funny without knowing that
loved
particular
it, loved
film.
It.
Okay, I'm looking at my list, and you only got two left, and you reckon your one is not my one, which means you've missed... At least one of these two.
My top two are going to make you urinate with...
Well, in that case, you've just dropped the ball entirely, because my number three is Cliff fucking Hanger.
Oh, no.
You like Cliffhanger?
I do like it. It was going to be one of my number tens.
Oh, for God's sake.
Are you telling me Cliffhanger is better than all the other ones you were talking about?
It's better than Lockup, better than Cobra, better than Rambo, First Blood Pass 2. It's better than all the other films on my list.
So you've just been really lying the whole time.
Cliffhanger. Cliffhanger, I own it on 4K.
What?
Fuck everyone who says Cliffhanger is a bad film.
No, I don't say it.
I'm particularly saying that to Jason from the Binge Movies podcast, who just tore it a new one a few weeks ago on this.
I'm saying high is what I'm saying. I'm saying good show, it's high. What? Like, okay, so Cliffhanger, what was cool about Sly at the time? All right, you remember that shit? Remember how it opened up? And then, what's his name? Michael Rooker.
Yeah. His girlfriend's.
Girlfriend, whatever. Yep. Sly's got to go over, climb, and save her, and then he actually drops her.
Great shot.
Fantastic, amazing shot.
Harlan.
Yep, made fun of in Ace Ventura.
Lots of good slow-mo in this film.
Really, really good.
Yeah, like, sure, the script's dog shit. But you're not there for the script in a film like this.
Is the script that? What was funny was that the bad guys were all, like, forcing him to climb without his, jacket.
John Lithgow is the bad guy. Doing a UK accent for no particular reason whatsoever.
It wasn't. You know what he was?
Because British guys are bad guys, basically.
You know what? I'm sure he wasn't, because this is what he would say, things like, sue me,
right? Yep.
Like, who says sue? It's Sue, right? And just shit like that. He wasn't, I think he wasn't being British. He was just being oddly American.
He was British.
He was definitely British.
I'm sure.
Okay. All right. No, it's a good movie. I remember a joke from this movie that I quite liked, where they were caught somewhere, but they had this bag of money because they stole it from the bad guys. And they were in a cave, and it was like, oh man, it's freezing here. So they start lighting a fire, and the scene opens with this fire and Sly throwing money into it because that's the only thing that will burn.
Yep.
And he says, curse of fortune eating this place. I'm like, God damn, that's funny. That's some funny shit, man. Come on, think about it. It's funny.
Janine Turner, I think, is the love from Northern Exposure.
Yeah, it wasn't a fan, but I love Northern Exposure. I didn't. She had short hair. We're going to do that. you're in the cold. You can have some long ass hair, woman. Anyway, fantastic. Fantastic.
Great film. Some awesome slow-mo sequences. Some great action in it, you know, dangling off the side.
The jump was the big thing.
Yeah. The iron sort of ladder joined to the helicopter.
You know what was a cool gadget from this movie?
Oh, here we go.
Mountain climbers, seemingly, according to this film, have this gun on them. If they're at a cliff face or something and there's no holds, they can just pull the gun out and go bang, and it shoots the fucking bolt into the thing, and then you use that to hang off. I'm like, well, that's just a great thing to have always. So there you are.
That's my three.
Number three.
Incredibly, our only crossover thus far is still Roadhouse, right? Oh, no, Roadhouse from The Last Action Hero.
Yeah. And you're not going to have my number one and two, so this is going to be great.
Wow.
My number two, everyone, is a movie called The Bonfire of the Vanities.
Oh, God, this is the film.
Now, listen up. I really don't understand this. This is a wicked-ass, in my opinion, Tom Hanks film, Melanie Griffith, Bruce Willis, right? It's a Tom Wolfe novel that they brought to life, and basically, it's a bit of class war stuff, and it's a long story, but it was an excellent movie, I thought. And I remember looking at it going, it was considered at its time amazing by lots of people. However, Tom Hanks himself says, I'll never make a movie this bad. Brian De Palma, by the way.
Yeah.
Just to let you know.
Post-Palmery. Or in the midst of the Palmery.
No, it was right in the middle. I thought it was amazing. I actually took this film to my class when I was at a traineeship when I was like 19 years old. And I said, this is a movie that has something to do where else. And we just obviously had nothing to do, so we all watched it. Everyone in the class thought it was awesome, right? And so I don't understand the deal here. How is this bad? Why does
everyone in the class told you it was awesome?
No. These
people want to offend your fragile ego.
This class of 10 bitches hated me. Okay, if they didn't like it, they would have told me. All right,
10 women.
Actually, it was 8 women and another dude, but they were all bitches. Okay. So anyway, Bonfire of the Vanities, man. I'm telling you, I still think it's a good movie. I still think it would hold up. I'm interested as to why Tom Hanks hates it. I really am.
Okay.
Also, Bruce Willis.
If your star hates the film, it's not a good sign.
There's an opening tracking shot that goes like for 8 minutes with Bruce Willis.
Yeah, well, that is Brian De Palma to a T.
Exactly.
That might have helped the film a lot.
Yeah.
Number two won't be on your list, and that's totally okay. So I did not expect this one to be anywhere.
Go on.
It is a film which completely changed the game for horror and for a lot of people, including Mike Margosian, listened to the show.
Okay.
They believed it was real upon watching it for the first time.
No.
We are talking about the Blair Witch Project. Yeah. From 1999, directed by Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez. And hot damn. This film inspired a whole new subgenre created virtually.
Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
There were earlier examples. There's a film called The Last Broadcast, which came before it, but none achieved the success of this film that catapulted that sort of idea of guerrilla filmmaking into the public eye. And for the Razzie nominees to not recognize or to pan this film for being cheap and shittily acted and badly shot just shows how far off the mark the Razzies can be.
What was awesome was that they marketed it like it was real. Yeah. And if we have a listener who actually did buy it.
Apparently, I'm jealous.
Yep. I would love to have thought that when I watched it.
Literally, this film came out in Australia 10 months after it came out in the States.
Yep.
So by that stage, it was all over the internet, did how well viral marketing, and it was an example thereof. So we didn't watch it with that lens. We didn't watch it with a question like, this isn't real, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
We knew
it was all bullshit.
Yeah, but it was still like effective. Spooky and effective.
Effective
absolutely.
Film. One of the first films I ever watched on DVD when I got a DVD player as well.
Yeah.
I remember that.
What's up?
So I rewatched it for that. And yeah, I dig this movie for what it did for the genre. I mean, I'm not a huge fan anymore of found footage. It has to be done really well to really capture my attention. But as the precursor or call it the trailblazer for that part of the horror genre, I have naught but utmost respect.
I actually just remembered something that Paul used to do, everyone. This is how much he liked the show. We got a friend, Bane Bill, who had like a property out in the bush or the forest, you would call it, right? Yeah. And when we would do bushwalks at night, which by the way is scary as fuck, all right? I don't like that shit. It's just darkness and then fucking predator, right? Paul would run around screaming, "Tell me where you are, Josh!" Remember that shit? Which is something that happens in the movie.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
So, you know, he is definitely a big fan. I see why you put it here.
All right.
Fair enough.
All right.
All right.
Your number two then. How offended am I going to be? Let's bring up the soundboard and make sure it's in a appropriate place.
It's actually my number one.
Oh, shit. Are we at your number one now? Bonfire Adventure number two. All right, give us your recap.
Yeah, okay. Number 10, Roadhouse. Number 9, Color of Night. 8, 3,000 Miles to Graceland. 7, Striptease. 6, Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo. 5, Last Action Hero. 4, Indecent Proposal. 3, The Bodyguard. Number 2, The Bonfire of the Vanities.
Please don't say show yours.
Oh, I wish I had. No, my number one is something that was probably... Look, it's Cocktail.
Of course.
Of course it's Cocktail.
Would have been on my list.
Right? Really? Yes. Do you like Cocktail?
No. Would have been on my list for you.
Oh, for absolutely. Yeah, everyone. Cocktail is this slice of life movie about... Well, Tom Cruise is Brian Flanagan, and he wants a high-paying marketing job. By the way, apparently there are none of those. But he needs a business degree, so he works as a bartender. But it becomes this whole kind of like himself actualizing as a man type theme. And Brian Brown is in it, and Kenny Lynch's ass is in it. And also, what's her name?
Well, it clearly has a Kelly Lynch thing.
Yeah, Elizabeth Shue. Yes. Elizabeth Shue.
Lie to Elizabeth Hershue.
Oh, okay, good. Okay. I don't know if it works.
Or would you like to Lynch
you'd like to
Kelly?
Shoe whore in? Oh, okay, yeah, okay, all right. Lynch or Kelly, absolutely. Yes, I think this was the movie where
you shoe her, Elizabeth.
What you want to do is shoehorn her.
Yeah, no, but I want to add words. You got to work with what you got.
No, you can't work with shoe Elizabeth. That fucking means nothing.
That's what it's like. Wayne was into her.
I was quite into her.
Or would have wished he was.
Oh, well done. Yep. That's better. I think this was the movie where I decided that people having sex in a waterfall is cool. Like, that's where it happened. Because I just didn't expect it to turn out this way.
I expect a litany of complaints from women you've had sex with in a waterfall.
That will take very few. There's been none. I've never gone to a waterfall and gone, I might whip my dick out and hopefully try and bang
someone. Are you shorter than 5'7"? Would you like to have sex in a waterfall?
Do you like disappointment? Yeah, that was it. I just didn't expect it. And then I was such a young man when I saw it, that when Elizabeth Shue, like, there's a moment where he's like, yeah, a bit of Kokomo. And she decides, let's do this. And she starts to take off her swimming suit. I was like, oh my God, women do that? It was nuts. So there you are. But by the way, great singing, Paul.
Thanks. I've worked hard to get these points.
Work harder. All right. That's it. Cocktail, people. Big fan. Kokomo.
All right. Yeah. Look, that is a totally you pick, so I have no problems with that.
Great soundtrack,
one.
By the way.
I do have a problem, however, with what you omitted for what was low on lists. So,
sure.
Adventures of Ford Fairlane. Cliffhanger. I can't believe
that. That was just an oversight. I don't know what happened there.
Didn't make it. This one as well has not made your list when I get there. So, here we go. My number 10, Roadhouse.
Uh-huh.
9, Last Action Hero. 8, Rambo, First Blood, Part 2. 7, Cobra. 6, Lockup. 5, Friday the 13th. 4, The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. 3, Cliffhanger. Oh, yeah. 4, Sylvester Stallone films on my list.
Okay, good call. I see where you're going now.
Number 2, The Blair Witch Project. And my number 1 is a film, Wayne, from 1998 that did not win, thank God, the Golden Razzie.
98, okay.
But it's unfortunately and unfairly maligned. And it...
Oh, what the fuck is this?
...does upset me no end that it's not on your list, sir.
What are you playing, asshole?
It is the music from the film, obviously, backing me now.
Yes, but no one fucking knows what it is. What? You think it's going to? This sounds
Do you
like...
know?
Is it a movie about Dire Straits?
Yes, it's called On Every Street. No, it is in fact Armageddon.
Oh, yeah.
Directed by Michael Bay.
Yes, of course.
Starring all of our favourite people.
Yeah. All right,
Bruce Willey.
I know.
Ben Affleck.
Uh-huh.
Liv Tyler.
Steve Buscemi.
Come on, man.
William Fichtner. We like him, yes.
William fucking Fichtner.
I understand. Now, listen.
How is this not on your list?
I can tell you. When I made the list, I think my brain went to Armageddon. I said, sure. And then it's like...
What do you mean, sure?
No, sure. But I was like...
Guaranteed number one.
Like, I've got so many fucking dodgy picks on my list. Can I afford to play jazz with this one?
And play jazz?
But
this is the best nominated Razzie film ever.
That's
the point here.
I don't know that it was.
Oh, are you trying to tell me that your 10 films are better films than Armageddon? Don't even try.
Look, are you overlooking the fucking...
In the story history of this podcast, we have defended this film to the death, Wayne.
We like it, but there was an animal cracker scene. There was an animal cracker scene that fucking dragged it.
125, 135 minute film, whatever it is. Yes, I will acknowledge that film almost...
It almost kills it, man. Like, I'm telling you.
But everything else, we love it. We both have it on, like, films that everyone else hates that we love.
You know what it is?
And you have left it off this list.
Yeah. Having Armageddon on my list was not true to the nature or and the brand of the list. That's what I can say
what
to you.
What a bunch of...
I'm just saying to you...
bullshit in this on the list.
No. My thing was like, it was very personal, my list, and Armageddon is just a little owned by everyone else. I understand. It's definitely an honorable mention.
Owned by us, Wayne. Forget everyone else. This is like a level of Cheers fucking betrayal.
I don't think it's as high as Cheers. I think we've had fun defending it because everyone else hates it, and that's why it was this thing that we sort of became friends on. I know, we actually became friends on Tango and Cash.
Yeah.
But
no one else hates Cheers. Like, people might be too young for it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Look, I obviously agree with it being here, but I did make a conscious decision that it wouldn't be on the list, and hey, that's how this shit rolls, son, but please, tell us about... Fuck you.
And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger cunt.
As proven by today's episode. So, I don't need to say, everyone knows my love of this
Look,
film.
The cool thing
it's
about...
It's a Criterion Collection release.
Yeah, I don't really understand that.
Fuck you!
But it's fine
Fuck
with me.
Fuck all you haters.
Look, the cool... You know what the coolest part I thought it was? It was the fucking... When the fucking space shuttle was automatically avoiding the fucking asteroids and shit. That looked
this
cool.
This whole film looks amazing for its time. Like, you watch it now, it holds up. I don't know what it is or how it is, but the practical effects...
Michael Bay.
Mixed in with the digital effects, it's pretty close to perfect.
Yeah, I would agree.
It really does hold up. It's an astounding film. At a technical level, yes, the script is dog shit. Yes, it's stupid as fuck.
You know what sucks? The fucking, don't want to close my flaps.
Yeah, Steven Tyler.
That's shit.
Or Aerosmith song. Yeah. But I think the score is amazing by Trevor Rabin.
Okay, you and your score.
Yeah.
Okay.
The next bunch of bonus episodes are going to be score-related episodes because Wayne...
Bullfuck.
I said bonus episodes. I don't bother with you with bonus episodes. I get to live my fantasy podcast.
Oh, yeah. Do that. Definitely do that.
There we are. My number one, Armageddon.
Sure it is.
Wayne, betraying the podcast yet again.
It's going to be fine. I mean, not for me.
You
this
said
is
you
over.
Had four or five other bunch of number 10. Just run through it. We won't talk about it because we are going to run long otherwise.
Rocky 5.
5?
Yep, liked it. I'm the guy who liked it. I'm the one guy who liked it. Attack of the Clones. I'm the other guy that liked that.
What is your...
Yo.
Yoda fucked up what's his name at the end of it. When you see Yoda busting caps and flipping and shit, that's cool. Also, I enjoyed all the big battles and shit.
Terrible.
Really great. Really great film. I own it on DVD, digital video disc. The other ones were ones that were in yours, like Cobra and Cliffhanger and shit.
I only had one, Anaconda.
Fuck off! You should have put it in. It would have been funny. All right? Ice Cube, son.
Daylight between 10 and 11.
Ice Cube and John Voight and J-Lo, what's up?
There we are. That's our honorable mentions, as short as they were. What about what you thought of the topic at hand in a segment that we call the Pop 10?
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
kicking off this week's Pop 10 with, more like Pop 20, let's be honest, Jim really? R. Hurst. Freddy Got Fingered was ahead of its time.
Fuck off. That movie sucks.
We're starting with 20 here. We watched The Thing, Billy Dizzle from that show. Number 3, Big Daddy. The movie's better than a bunch of other Sandler films. Honestly, not that bad.
Really?
Number 2, Jesus, Billy. Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2.
Oh, come on! Exactly. That's actually the worst movie ever made, dude. Billy, Billy, B. What's
genuinely
up?
Genuinely scared the shit out of me. Oh. Maybe more than the first. Oh, come on.
No, you didn't. He's trolling us. There's no way
you have
anyone
thought anything. You've broken this podcast, Billy.
Even at the end with the red-haired person's titty bonus, it was shit.
I can't believe you remember that. No, I'm not. No, I can't believe you remember that. I can't remember that. This film was garbage. Number one. Oh, fuck. It's like Billy's just trying to anger me.
What?
Baywatch. The movie was funny, plus Daddario is a babe. I dug this a lot. Yes, Daddario is a babe.
I'm fine with you there.
I have every issue with everything else you said there. Gidget Von LaRue from the Retro Cinema Podcast, good friend of the show. So many. Xanadu, the pirate movie, and Rocky IV. Oh, and The Adventures of Ford Fairlane is great. And Cliffhanger, what the fuck? Yes, Wayne, what the fuck?
Dude.
Cliffhanger.
Xanadu, by the way. Awesome. I mean, not awesome, but like ironically awesome.
Stephen from the Super Retro Throwback Podcast. Caddyshack 2, nominated Worst Picture at the 1989 Razzies. Star Trek 5 at 1990.
What was that? 5.
Shatner versus God, apparently.
God?
Someone wrote that down. And number 3, Congo from the 96 Razzies.
Yeah, that was unfortunately a piece of shit. Michael Crichton novel, I remember.
Yeah, with Bruce Campbell in an ill-fated early role. The crossover podcast, Matt from that show, Death to Smoochie. That movie is funny as hell. Critics just thumb their noses at dark comedy.
Unfamiliar.
Dumb Guzzle Podcast said, Hudson Hawk doesn't need defending.
Now. I fucking hate Hudson Hawk. I remember every stupid moment in it fell flat. Especially the would you like to swing on a star bullshit routine with fucking Bruce Willis and Danny Aiello. What were they thinking?
There was a heap of people who picked Hudson Hawk.
I don't understand. But hey, great.
Why are you remembering there's a vote this week?
No, I'm like, what are you going to say?
Jeff from Cadavercast. I'm a huge fan of Freddy Got Fingered. Absolutely kills me every single time I watch it. We raved about it on Word Salad Radio.
You know what the funniest bit in that show was? The Daddy, would you like some sausage? Where he's fucking playing the piano and there's sausages attached to pulleys on his fingers. It was weird. It's shit.
I have to tend to agree with you on that one. cinematic blind spot. You'd think this would be their absolute wheelhouse. You nailed it. I'd put a gif of Howard the Duck up there. I'll defend Howard the Duck until I die. We did a top 5 bad movie episode, and Howard was number 1 for both of us.
Really? Hey, man.
Movie of the past, and we're in the minority, but there are a couple of us who staunchly defend this masterpiece.
What?
The Postman.
Okay. I remember the year that they razzied up The Postman. They even danced on stage to how shit the soundtrack was. They really hated it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was big. Look, I did see it. I can't remember much of it.
Okay. I thought maybe because you're weird penchant for Kevin Costner.
Oh, I like Costner.
Shone through. No, but okay. Emily Higgins from the Tasteless Podcast. So many, especially Showgirls and Spice World.
So, okay. I liked me a bit of Spice Girls back in the day. I'm sure no one's surprised by that.
Murph said Friday the 13th, 1980, what the fuck, one of the greatest horror films ever. Tarzan the Ape Man from 82. And Stroker Ace, 83, brilliant popcorn fun.
Good lord. Okay, fine.
Tony said Bolero with Bo Derek again.
What's up? I forgot about that one. Look, it was really
That's
bad.
Me laughing.
It was really, really bad.
Being disturbed by Wayne Spank banking that film. Rocky IV and Waterworld from Tony. Tim Cormack said, Mac and me, fuck E.T. This is the ultimate kid alien buddy movie. Juice Bigelow, not European Gigolo.
Did the first one get a nom too?
The male version of Pretty Woman, only sexier. Well, that's why he said, I'm not checking this one out.
I'm on board.
And Howard the Duck, the true hero of my youth. And Endgame, Howard, assemble. Because he was in
Endgame. He was, rather.
Mario in the Bar, proudly defending Cocktail the movie.
What's up, sir?
That made me want to be a bartender and fall more in love with Elizabeth Shue.
Word to Big Bird.
And don't forget, best Beach Boy song ever, Kokomo. You've already heard that song this
Mo's
episode.
Def.
Mario.
That's the bomb. It's a great song.
Epic film, guys. Our good mate Nick said, you knew this was coming from me. GIF of course, Batman v Superman.
Did that get a Razzie?
Yeah, it certainly did. And you may have noticed, but almost all my list was really old. Like nothing in the last 10 years.
Because we've been thinking about it for
100% agree with. But Nick here bringing it in with a film from not that long ago. Gerald from 2Bs on a Podcast, Roadhouse, Rocky IV, Last Action Hero were his top three. It did add Blair Witch and Cats at the end.
Which hasn't been on there. Okay.
Over the Facebook list community, Ryan and Neil had Cocktail, Armageddon, and Last Action Hero. So all mentioned today.
Mm-hmm.
Christian O'Carra had Batman v Superman. Wicca Wicca. Wild Wild West.
Oh, really?
Yep. And Spice World. Again.
Spice World, I get.
Andrew Watson had New Year's Eve. Sure, it's a schmaltzy crap trying and failing to be Love Actually with an American pass, but it gave me the feels. Hudson Hawk.
Well done. Okay.
And Jaws of Revenge, which is where I get upset.
Jaws of Revenge.
Maybe Mike I was Kane. Drunk when I watched it at 2 a.m. in my teens, but if you really think about it, it's not that bad. No, Andrew, if you really think about it, it is that fucking bad. Watch it again.
Hey, everyone. The sharks were targeting the family matriarch. Somehow they knew who she was.
Somehow they chased her around the fucking world.
Yes, and this is, by the way, generations of Jaws sharks. That's what's going on here.
It's fucking terrible. Philip Watson said The Phantom Menace. It's goofy and stupid, but in 2020 I have nostalgia for it. Transformers Dark Side of the Moon. One of the better Transformers movies with some really sweet visuals. Yeah, it's dumb. And Armageddon. Steven Tyler noises.
You know, funny thing, in that video for Don't Want to Close My Eyes, he closes his fucking eyes.
You heard it here first.
Just saying, man. Gentlemen.
Mike Margosian, number three, Big Daddy. Actually, it was pretty funny and had a decent plot. Number two, Last Action Hero. This movie was awesome. Meta before Meta was big and now, as so many action movie tropes. Number one, yeah, Mike, the Blair Witch Project. This hit exactly the right time. I thought it was 100% real when I saw it. So, yeah, there we are. Second to last one, my money is on Wayne, including both Showgirls and Striptease on this list. Wonder why. So he was 50% right.
Yeah.
His three would be Big Daddy, Blair Witch, and Armageddon. Thank you, Connell. And finally, Smiley Solomani. Smiley said number three, Friday 13th, / the Blair Witch Project. Couldn't split them because they're both great horror films which redefy the genre. Number two, The Lady in the Water.
I never saw this because you warned me of it so heavily.
Well, Smiley's saying, totally underrated fantasy horror movie, required a bit more world building and maybe a different actor to play the writer than the director himself, but a better film than most
seems like a problem.
For. Yeah. Yep. Poor critic reviews because, in part, the film was a blatant middle finger salute at said critics.
Okay.
And number one, The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. Loved this movie. Yeah, and so did Hungary, Norway, and Spain, by all accounts. Cult status all the way.
Nice one.
And that is it for this week's topic. We have defended the indefensible, and so have you. Thank you for joining us and trying that. We're sorry if we didn't get to you. We had a lot more responses and a lot of different films which were mentioned, and I edited them out just because we had so many, but I would say a good 10 other people mentioned Hudson Hawk.
Look, it's just one of those things that's going to always escape me. I don't know. I had such a bad time with it because I expected so much.
I hated it because you hated it so much. I remember watching and thinking nothing about it, but then you fucking shit on it any chance you
get. Because David Addison should have been funny. But he was just LeMay. He was just shit. So,
unlike using the word LeMay.
That shit is cool as well.
All right, Wayne, how do the listeners find us?
You should Google us, The Countdown Podcast, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
Hit us up on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. You can find us on Podbean where we host the show and you heard some of the comments from earlier in the episode. If you'd like to be read out there, check us out via the Facebook listener community link is in the show notes as well.
Righto.
And that is it for this week's episode 257. What's happening next week, Wayne, for episode 258?
We did discuss it, but I forgot.
So the topic this week is going to be, or next week is going to be, the top 10 films you wouldn't want to watch with your mum.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we think this came from listener Kristen.
Kristen, yeah.
If it wasn't Kristen and it was someone else, please let us know.
Yeah, we were trying to switch back. We're like, I'm sure it was Kristen.
Too far to scroll back. But I'm very, two or three weeks ago.
Bad memory, old man.
Yeah, that's both of our excuses in this regard. So that is what it's going to be. The films that we're most embarrassed by to watch, which might be a lot of fun show. A little bit, hopefully, like today.
A little bit nasty.
Was as well.
A little bit fucking filthy.
Well, we'll certainly be nasty
just saying,
filthy
just
from
saying.
Wayne's side.
From I remember, yeah.
The coin. Before the week after, we're going to be getting into the 5-year anniversary of the show.
Good Lord.
So here is your chance, right? Now, not all these episodes are available, but what we're going to be doing for the 5-year anniversary of the show is we're going to be doing 2 weeks, 2-week extravaganza special. First week will be the 10 worst films we've reviewed as feature reviews on the show.
Mm-hmm.
The second week is going to be the 10 best films we've reviewed, according to Wayne and I, on the show, we're going to give you the chance to vote the same. And we're going to do a little bit of a bit of an Excel spreadsheet type deal.
Oh.
Get people to nominate any film that we have covered on the show in that feature review capacity. I'll make a list available.
Like a Google Doc?
Doc. You can have a look through. You can pick the 10 worst, the 10 best. And we're going to give your feedback as well, as well as our feedback for that special five-year occasion.
Nice one, brother.
I made that up on the spot, but I reckon it works all
right. Yeah, I just heard the whole thing. Great brief.
Like,
great brief.
Look at me like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's okay. It's on the fly. It's real.
So that's what's going to be happening in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you so much for joining us today for episode 257 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
What are you, a fucking moron?
Ass.
What are you, a fucking moron's ass? Okay. We'll catch you next week.
See ya.